Somebody was going to be miffed by the expansion of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument straddling the state line southeast of Ashland. Supporters wanted it to roughly double in size. Timber and cattle groups opposed the expansion and, in fact, the original creation of the monument. In the end, President Obama's January declaration under the Antiquities Act added roughly 48,000 acres to the 65,000-acre monument, less than supporters wanted. In the middle of February, Western Oregon counties sued the federal government over the potential loss of timberlands and so potential county revenue. A week later, timber groups filed suit as well. We had an interview set up with a county commissioner who then opted to drop the chat while the lawsuit was pending. We did get a chance to get some input here from Jerome Rosa, who's the executive director of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association and our guest on the exchange. Jerome, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
So there's certainly a mix of public and private land in the monument. Any idea how much range land for grazing for the people you're concerned about in either category?
You know, I don't have exact numbers on what percentage of that is, but I did go down and tour the area with a group of our people from down in that area and a group of some of the local leaders from down in that area, and we toured the monument area there for about 4 or 5 hours and throughout the area, and a lot of it is, you know, prime timber ground, but there is quite a bit of it that was being grazed. Really, really good quality grazing ground in that, you know, there was high oats in there that was growing, a lot of forages in there, and really a lightning strike away from just all of it being burned down. And with managed grazing being able to be in there, we'd be able to control that fire situation that would can be there and be able to be a win-win.
See, you're saying that the land once managed probably should stay managed?
Exactly. And so what happens is many of our permittees, or several of our permittees, I believe, I don't know the exact number, I believe there were 6 or 7 families that would be that are impacted by this, and the cattle are going to have to be, will eventually be out of the from grazing in the area. What happens with these situations that we've seen around the western United States is that these grazing rights that have occurred, maybe when it gets transferred from a father to a son, or a new person leases the facility or leases the land or leases the rights to be able to go in there and graze, then they're not transferred. And so then eventually what happens is over time, the grazing ceases to exist anymore. And so then that creates, you know, the kind of situation with the fire hazards and everything we're talking about. It's not good for the timber. It's not good for the environment. It's not good for the wildlife in there. And we've seen that happen throughout the West, throughout Oregon. And it just decimates our state budgets going in and fighting these wildfires. And it's just a lightning strike away from happening in what is really a prime area there. I mean, it's beautiful conditions, and but an area that is prone to fire.
So you're saying it should not be allowed to return to a natural state, I mean, even in parts?
I'm saying by it occurring to a natural state, often in the natural state, it was unlimited wildfires that occurred.
All right, so let's. I want to get a little further into the tour you mentioned taking. I mean, I wonder what impressions were left, other than the things that you were focusing on, just about concerns for cattle owners. I mean, obviously, the reason for the creation of the monument is the biological diversity that's contained within there. I wonder how much of that left an impression on you.
You know what really left, and you know, I represent the cattlemen, and we're there thinking from a cattleman's issue, but you know, we all care about what's going on there and the communities that go that, you know, are in there. There was a small school that was in there that's really lost a lot of funding through the years because of what's occurred there. What happens is some of these areas where, you know, ranching has occurred, where some of these private properties are, maybe these private properties, what will happen is they'll be circled out and they'll be exempt from the monument, but then the roads aren't maintained or the gates are closed and they don't have access to their properties, which basically renders them, you know, worthless. And so then they'll sell them for pennies on the dollar. And so it's really a tragic situation what happens there.
Is it normal? I mean, you were talking about the grazing rights, and do those generally follow with the property? I mean, is that the usual way things are done in the grazing business?
Well, it's all a little bit different. You know, if it's BLM ground, if it's Forest Service ground, all the situations are a little bit different, and there's a lot of different items that go into making those decisions up. But generally, this is what we've seen that's happened in monument designations around the West. Down in the Grand Staircase, for instance, we have a prime example of how this happened. And so it's really sad. It's misunderstanding. I think a lot of folks feel that or see that it'll go back to its wild original habitat and feel that that's, you know, really a positive thing that'll happen there. And really what happens there is that it won't be able to be used for people to go in there and recreate, for people to go in there and be able to see this wildlife if it just everything goes up in flames.
But, I mean, if that happens a few times, it seems like after a while fires restore to the ecosystem and the fires would be more frequent and less intense.
Well, I guess we could wait for 100 years for that to happen, you know, when it does.
That's how long you think it would take, huh?
Yep.
We are talking to Jerome Rosa, who's the executive director of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association, about the expansion of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. And you can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I have not asked yet, Jerome. The counties are suing. That was announced in mid-February. Timber companies followed about a week later. Is there any contemplation of a lawsuit from the Cattlemen's Association or similar groups?
Not that I've been aware of. Not that I've been aware of. I haven't been told anything from any of the local, state, or national groups that I've been made aware of anyway.
Let's take a call here. We have David and Talent on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jerome Rosa from the Oregon Cattlemen's Association.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I lived up in the Green Springs for a few years and actually taught up at Pinehurst School. And I do have to say that it's a very contentious issue up there, and it causes a lot of division amongst people because you have to pick a side, unfortunately. And from my experience up there, you know, at that school, we had cows that would come onto our field and poop all over our soccer field, and we were under the obligation to keep them out. The cattlemen had no obligation to keep their cows off of our land. Jenny Creek and Little Hyatt Lake up there, you go to try to swim in those creeks and those lakes, you're basically swimming in cow patties. I mean, I took my kids up there and tried to have them swim, and there's cow patties floating down the creek. I mean, the E. coli, I can't imagine, is safe for people or for the wildlife up there in the fish habitat. So I'm wondering, if you really think grazing is so good for the land, how have you kept them out of the creeks?
All right. Thanks for the question, David. Appreciate that. Jerome, what is the usual procedure there, and has that changed since the monument designation initially?
Well, there's a lot of different things that go in there, and there's operational controls that go in there, and we have done studies, and there was a recent study that was just done in Wallowa, for instance, and it showed, and it was a long-term study that was done up there. So the cattle go into the creeks either to, and they'll spend 1 to 1.5% of their time, 2% at the max. They'll either go in there to drink water and cross, or to cross. And so 1 to 2% of their time is the max they spend in there. They don't just go in there to hang out. They'd rather be up where it's dry and be out grazing and eating, you know. And so they don't just hang out in the water. Now, does it occasionally happen? Absolutely. But, you know, we have the proof. We have the science that shows, hey, they're there 1 to 2 weeks. And they normally just go in there, like I said, to drink or to cross.
And so what kinds of restrictions have come into place on any activities involving the cattle just since the monument was originally designated? I just wonder if there have been any changes on the public land. And again, it is a mix of public and private land in the monument.
Well, one thing I'd like to address on the previous question from the caller also is, you know, the cattle often get blamed for everything that occurs in, you know, with E. coli and matter. But, you know, there's not any mention of, you know, the amount of wildlife and that's in there doing the same thing. And so automatically it's the cattle that gets blamed for, you know, these situations when quite often that's not the case at all. And we have the science to back that up.
You mean you have science indicating that it is not cow poop that is in some of these creeks?
We have science indicating that they go in there to drink or they go in there to cross and they spend 1 to 2% of their time doing that.
Okay. That references the previous caller's questions. What about the one that I just asked, though, about what changes have happened since the original monument designation? Any further restrictions on how cattle are run within the monument?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. Yeah, I can't really answer that. Not that I'm aware of, but you know, maybe there is. I'm not aware of it.
All right. So, what's the way forward here? I mean, do you see? I mean, are you going to enter in as the Cattlemen's Association as a friend of the court or anything like that with the county and the timber company lawsuits against the Antiquities Act?
You know, we haven't decided to do that or not to do that yet. We haven't discussed this at all yet. So we'll look at it and see if we decide to do that or not.
Mm-hmm. And does the Cattlemen's Association take a position just in general on the relative use or not of the Antiquities Act?
Yeah, we really feel it's an abuse of what the Antiquities Act was intended to be. It was intended just to be for instance, military installations or, you know, historical monuments or for, mainly it was originally to be, my understanding was for military installations, not for these broad spectrum kind of situations that it's been put into now and being utilized now. And that's not what the intent of the Antiquities Act. And we definitely feel that it's being abused and it's not being used correctly.
Are there any particular monument designations that you think were done well within the state of Oregon?
You know, I can't really speak on that to much of a degree, but I can give you a for instance. In the Oahe, there was recently quite a bit of discussion, quite a bit of talk of a 2.5 million acre expansion.
That was the proposed Oahe Canyon Lands Monument?
Exactly, mm-hmm. 2.5 million acres, and it did not go through.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the one in the Cascade Siskiyou did go through. We were really disappointed to see that. You know, like I mentioned, it's prime ground over there. A lot of good grass, a lot of good grazing opportunity there, and a lot of opportunity to be able to continue to manage that so that timber will be there and be healthy and those properties will be healthy. And it's a fire-prone area, and it's a lightning strike away from being another disaster fire like we've seen decimate Oregon's budgets in the last few years. I mean, these wildfires have just gotten out of control. It's decimated our schools' budgets. It's decimated our state's budgets. And mainly it's because of this, you know, fuel that's out there that's continuing to increase, and we're not able to keep it grazed and keep it managed.
So what do you think should be happening? I mean, if for example there were some idea for managing the timber in a way that would thin it out, I mean, would you then be a little more favorable toward the monument designation, or is it just not something you want to see at the Cattlemen's Association?
Well, we think that management is the key. Being able to manage these forests, being able to manage them, you know, remove, you know, the fire hazards, the dead trees, and be able to manage them where they're healthy forests, they're healthy environments. Being able to graze the grass to where it's at a healthy situation, be able to maintain these ecosystems in a healthy manner. We don't feel that the monument designations, excuse me, and the Antiquities Act is being used properly now, and that it's definitely being abused and not the way that it was intended to be.
All right, we have some calls here. Let's go to Jess in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument expansion with Jerome Rosa, the executive director of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. Hi, Jess. Jess, you there?
This is Jeff from Medford. Is this who you wanted to talk to?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, for one thing, you know, fire has been an integral part of the ecosystem and the Cascades, you know, for millennia, and I don't know how much grazing actually does to reduce fire hazard. I kind of don't think it has much. I've been a wildland firefighter for a number of years in the past, and I just kind of don't buy into that. And there's other ways to manage forest land. Part of why we're having these catastrophic fires is due to climate change, which is a whole different subject. But the other thing is I have seen the same thing as far as wetlands, ponds, small streams up in that area where the monument is in the Cascades, just completely fouled by cattle. And I don't care what percent of the time they spend up there. They trample, they poop, they urinate, and it's, you can smell it sometimes hundreds of feet away, and it's supposed to be a nice, clear spring. And also, I remember the days when you drive from Mount Ashland over toward Dutchman Peak along the Siskiyou Crescent. It was totally denuded. You didn't see wildflowers in the spring. You didn't see bunch grass. You didn't see any of the native edge because it was denuded by cows grazing, and I see the same thing now up in the Cascades in some areas where you go up there, you want to see beautiful wildflowers and things, and they're not there. The cows have eaten them. And I, for one, I think it's such a minimal amount of economic importance to the area where recreation is becoming more and more important.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's give a chance.
I really don't buy the argument about the cows up there.
All right, let's give a chance to respond. Thanks for that, Jeff. Appreciate that. Jerome, that's two calls now with people concerned about cattle poop. You got a bit of a PR problem where that's concerned, it sounds like.
Well, I realize, who I'm talking to and the area of the state where I'm talking to. So, I would expect every call that will come in will probably be along the same lines. And I understand that and get that. But I think you respect and understand, where we're coming from, what we're seeing, what the science says on this. And so, it's no different than I've given this example before. So, you live in town and you have your yard and you never mow your grass, okay? And you're in a really hot area like you are down in Medford, Ashland area. And your lawn grows to be a foot and a half tall. And it's deader than dead at that point. And I think if your neighbors drive by, they're not going to be too happy with your lawn being a foot and a half tall and it being dead out there and like that. And then a car goes by or somebody drops a cigarette butt or a car goes by and exhaust, you were to have a fire that occurred there. Everyone would be upset about that, okay? And so, and that's a term that, expand that by 48,000 acres. And that's what's occurring here.
All right. Jerome Rosa, the executive director of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. Thanks so much for taking time to talk to us today about the opposition within the Cattlemen's Association to the expansion of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. Very much appreciate your time.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for inviting me anytime.
Okay, take it easy. The expansion, again, the monument was 65,000 acres. The expansion adds 48,000 acres. And again, the Cattlemen's Association not filing suit at this point, but the counties and timber groups have done so.